Hey everyone, my friend Elo! Welcome to Lovey Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peters, and now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you guys. We're going to be joined in a few minutes by one of our good friends, Riley Frain, who does great work over at the Portal Report. He also does great work over at Mid-Major Madness. He's going to be joining me. Lots of Atlantic 10 talk with him today. We're also going to be chatting a little bit about how he's taking a look at these exhibition matchups, when we make out of Georgetown knocking off Kentucky in an exhibition matchup, and so much more. He is such a wealth of knowledge, so we're going to have a nice two-part chat with him, and we are now just 48 hours away from the start of the college basketball season, just like in past years. When it comes time for the start of the college basketball season, you guys are going to be getting picks and analysis on every single game, every single day, so guys, we are almost there. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at gunit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So, as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. While I did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, everything is now powered by Better. Great to have them aboard for the upcoming college basketball season. Right now, Better is making it easier to get into the game by utilizing the promo code of VSINPOD, that is VSINPOD. You'll get $10 free, no deposit needed. Just sign up, make your picks, and you're set for tip-off. And boy, oh boy, we are set for tip-off of the upcoming college basketball season. It is going to be a glorious one. Riley, much like myself, is chomping at the bit to be able to get into it. We're going to talk some Atlantic 10 and so much more with him. And you're able to follow Riley on the old Twitter/X at his first and last name, Riley Frain, all together. And Riley, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Greg. Excited to talk some college basketball with you. I think as we're recording this, just 3 days away. So, you know, really exciting time of year with everything gearing up for the season here. So yeah, excited to talk with you today. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. And we are going to have ourselves 5+ months of college basketball every weekend after this weekend. It is so great. And Riley, just what are some of the last second things that you're doing to get set for the upcoming season? Because as we know, the college basketball season is 7 months long. So it's obviously an arduous process. And I always refer to it as like being a part of a research paper. You've got some things that you do early, some things that you do late. What are some of the things that you're doing late to be able to be best prepared for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, just familiarizing myself with rosters as much as I can, trying to read different previews here and there. Of course, we do a ton of different mid-major stuff at Mid-Major Madness, a ton of different conference previews. So a ton of, you know, well-acquitted writers over there who are covering different conferences. So I love going over there to familiarize myself sort of around the mid-major ranks. Just keeping eyes on some of the bigger outlets and all the different news they're reporting. Of course, there's not a lot of on-court basketball happening at the moment. We still have a couple days to wait till then. So just kind of picking at the scraps here and there that we can get. Of course, I know we talked about it on a previous episode. The exhibitions are always exciting. I try not to put too much stock into them. But when there's not a lot of actual, you know, basketball that matters being played at the moment, it's always fun to sort of grab onto the headlines there and see how some guys are performing. And I think it's always interesting to see some of the breakout stars of some of those exhibitions I was tweeting about. Rob Dockery over at LaSalle, a Texas A&M transfer, who had a really good scrimmage for them the other day. He dropped, I think, 17 points in 20 minutes. Really just one half of playing the scrimmage, and again against a D3 program, and again I try not to place too much stock in it, but you know, always an exciting time of year to start familiarizing yourself with some of the players, start reading some conference previews from many of the well, you know, respected college basketball writers out there. Another big thing for me is sort of piecing together the schedule of games I'm going to cover this season, looking at some of the big storylines that are surrounding some of these exciting programs. I'm sure we'll touch on a couple of them, you know, throughout the episode, and sort of picking a lot of the games I want to cover. I've got my first couple weeks planned out, so I'm excited for that. Of course, excited to, you know, cover a handful of stories and get to, you know, watch some real basketball that kind of matters in the next couple of days. So sort of a long-winded answer to your question, Greg. But yeah, just keeping my eyes on the news, checking over rosters, trying to familiarize myself with who's on what teams, of course, with all the chaos of the off-season movement and things like that. And trying to familiarize myself with a lot of big storylines, you know, around the different conferences. And again, I think a great way to do that is by checking out maybe an outlet like Mid-Major Madness or many other different, like HHQ Sports with Seth Davis, or of course, listening to Greg's podcast here.
Yay.
So lots of great different ways you can go about getting all that information, and there's no better time of the year to do it than as we're gearing up for the season here.
Oh, no question about it. As we do have Riley Freeney, does great work over at the Portal Report and Mid-Major Madness joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And that leads me into this because you laid out a lot of just trying to familiarize yourself with a lot of these teams, what have you. And that leads me into this question because we've talked about teams that you're bullish on. I brought up a few teams that you're bearish on. What team do you take a look at? Or this is probably going to be multiple teams, but what teams do you take a look at right now that you just still feel like there's a lot of mystery with? Because as we know, in this day and age, there's a lot of player movement. There were a lot of coaching changes that were made in the offseason. No matter how hard you try, is there just a few teams where you just don't have a grasp for them and you're just wondering how it's going to look night number one out there on the court?
I think the big one that jumps out to me, particularly when you say mystery, just with all the recent chaos they've had around, it has to be St. Joe's. And you know, just my A10 coverage is one that's close to my heart. And I'm a St. Joe's alum myself. But yeah, a lot of mystery, I feel like, going on over there. Of course, we talked about it on another episode of this show. Coach Lang stepping away, sort of, I think it was about a month and a half to go, 2 months to go before the season. And they promote Steve Donahue, who was an assistant on the staff, but formerly a head coach at Penn for a long time. And I think how things are going to kind of play out under Steve Donahue, you know, there's a lot of question marks. Who's going to step into different roles within the coaching staff? There's a lot of question marks. I think there's a lot of question marks on the roster of what kind of roles guys can step into. You know, I think in the A10 preseason poll that came out at the beginning of October, they were picked sort of middle of the pack, upper middle of the pack, I think fifth, sixth, or seventh, somewhere around there. I don't have it in front of me at the moment. But I know upper middle of the pack. And, you know, so I think to that point that the talent on this roster, you know, there's enough talent on this St. Joe's roster to be a competitive A-10 team. Of course, they bring in a guy like Deuce Jones, who was conference rookie of the year. You know, they have Anthony Finkley on the roster still, who was really productive last year, sort of in a sixth man, fifth man type of role. They bring back Justice Ajabor as a really experienced veteran big man who's a really good two-way player. But behind that, you know, again, there's just a lot of mystery, a lot of question marks on who's going to slot into what roles. Derek Simpson was a little bit of a liability at the point guard position. I think they're expecting him to take a step up. Obviously, there's some question marks with the improvement he can make. You know, I look at Jaden Glover Toscano coming over from St. John's in the transfer portal, you know, a former top 100 prospect, four-star guard, but didn't play a lot his freshman year at St. John's, battled some injuries. So what kind of impact can he make? Maybe a guy like Al Amadou too, coming over from Marquette, obviously with some high major experience there, taking a step down to the A-10 level. Again, what kind of impact can he make? Some freshmen and sophomores, from having spoke to Coach Donahue and some of the other guys around the team, some freshmen and sophomores that they're expecting to maybe take a little bit of a leap here this season as well and be impactful contributors. So I think the interesting thing is there's a lot of talent here. There's some depth to this lineup, you know, but again, a lot of question marks who's going to maybe fill into some of those slots for the St. Joe's team. Again, Greg, when you say mystery, I think that's a big one that stands out to me. Maybe just looking around the A-10 as well, another team who maybe not so bullish on, I would say, you know, I'm interested to see how they're going to play out. Picked a little bit closer to the bottom of the A-10 would have to be Richmond. Returning someone like Mikel Tine, who was really impactful in one of their exhibition scrimmages. I believe they had a win over JMU, a highly ranked opponent, a close win over JMU. So I know it doesn't matter for the net. Again, I try not to place too much stock in the exhibition scrimmages, but a good win. But again, just a lot of question marks around this roster on how some guys are going to play out. Maybe on some of these transfers taking, you know, a step up and being productive at a level like the A-10. I look at a Jaden Daughtry coming over from Indiana State, who was really good there. How impactful is he going to be in the A-10? You know, that's a little bit of a jump coming over from the Missouri Valley, or a guy like Will Johnston from Loyola Marymount. Of course, you know, the WCC, one of the premier mid-major conferences, in my opinion, over the past couple of years. Loyola Marymount, not necessarily one of those top two or three teams we think about in that conference, you know, a really competitive program, albeit, but, you know, I'm just interested to see what kind of jump Will Johnson can make in joining the program. I think of AJ Lopez coming over from Maine, who's a really, really competitive defensive player. There's a little bit of improvement that, you know, we're looking to see be made to his offensive game this offseason. Some question marks there, but I think he could be an impactful contributor. And just furthermore, some guys like Jonathan Beagle, who's returning from last year, was really solid for Albany a couple years ago. What kind of impact is he going to have? A guy like Mike Walsh, who I'm pretty sure was picked on the all-conference preseason third team, maybe. What kind of step up is he going to take this year? Because he wasn't necessarily a double-digit guy last year as Richmond kind of struggled. Maybe a guy like David Thomas, who has some experience at DePaul coming over, but, you know, never quite, you know, hit his stride there or you know, met his potential there at DePaul. So, you know, again, what kind of impact is he going to make at this A-10 level? So look at Richmond. I look at St. Joe's. I think there's a couple other teams around the conference who, you know, have some interesting question marks. Even at the top of the conference, you know, how is VCU's rotation going to shake out? Obviously, that's going to be a really good team under new head coach Phil Martelli. But just overall, how's that rotation going to shake out? I was listening to an interview with Coach Caputo earlier, and they talked about having such a deep rotation there that who's going to be able to play minutes and who's going to fill into sort of what role there. So all around the A-10, there's a lot of question marks, and that's what makes this kind of an exciting time of year for sure, is how are some of these storylines are going to play out over the next couple months. But excited to see sort of how it shakes out for of course, St. Joe's. I'm excited to see see maybe if Richmond can take a little bit of a step up this year with some interesting transfer guys. I touched on VCU and GW, who I would imagine would be towards the top of the rankings come the end of the year, but still some question marks there that need to be sorted out. So yeah, just taking a kind of a look around the A-10 over the past couple of weeks as we're gearing up for the season. And those were definitely some of the storylines that sort of stood out to me.
And I do think that it's really interesting that there's going to be a lot of impactful games for the Atlantic 10 very early on during the season. With us now just 48 hours away from the start of the college basketball season, let's chat with Riley about some of these big impactful games that we are going to be seeing early on during the season, how meaningful it is going to be, how the Atlantic 10 fares in a lot of these non-conference games, if they are going to be able to get multiple teams in the NCAA tournament after getting his thoughts on Georgetown knocking off Kentucky in an exhibition, and just a few teams in general that he thinks are intriguing coming into the season. We'll be chatting about that with Riley on the flip side right here on Coast to Coast with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. For anyone that is new to VSiN, well, I wish you a friendly hello. This is an attention to anyone that is new to VSiN because you're able to get some free stuff with our daily newsletter. It's a great way to catch up on everything that's happening in the sports betting world. It's delivered straight to your inbox every single morning. VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, strategies for the day's betting menu, and so much more. Sign up for free today over at VSiN.com/newsletter. That's VSIN.com/newsletter. And start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That is VSIN.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSIN. And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Great to be rejoined by Riley Frayne, who does such excellent work over at Mid-Major Madness. Along with that, he does a tremendous job over at the Portal Report. He is hard at work, much like myself, getting set for what is going to be an absolutely magnificent college basketball season with Riley. You're able to follow him on the old Twitter /X at Riley Frayne. Last name is spelled F-R-A-I-N. And Riley, we've been talking a lot about these teams here in the offseason. We've been diving in on so many different angles as to who might be doing what, but now we're finally getting into it. We're finally getting into games. So how about if we do take a look at some of the intriguing games around the Atlantic 10 that we're going to be seeing really in the first week or so of the season? I really feel like the big one on that Monday is going to be Bradley versus St. Bonaventure. That's a part of the Field of 68 opening day marathon. That is certainly going to be a big one. Rest of them, certainly you could have a little bit of impact, like George Mason playing against Wofford. Probably would be a little bit bigger if Wofford didn't have just the chaos that they did with their coaching situation. But How do you take a look at the early first few days of the Atlantic 10, because I just look at that Friday game, VCU versus Utah State. I think that that could be a big litmus test for the Atlantic 10, and I think that you might agree with me on this. Teams like perhaps Rhode Island playing against Tulsa early on during the season, Fordham getting some opportunities early, Davidson against Washington State. I think that those are big, big games, because if the middle slash bottom of the Atlantic 10 could be a little bit better, that could bode well for this conference getting multiple teams into the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting that you bring that up, Greg, because I think you talk to any coach around the conference, and I go back to that GW interview with Coach Caputo that I was watching earlier, specifically as my good friend David Korn and Liam O'McCurran over at the GW Basketball Insiders podcast, who do great work covering that program, both graduates of the school as well. And one of the things Coach Caputo talked about, and just one of the things that I hear from talking to coaches generally around the A-10 and coaches really in college basketball at the mid-major level in general, is how difficult scheduling has become nowadays, because particularly at an A-10 level, maybe a high major level school doesn't want to sort of have to play you on home or neutral court, have to bring you in, buy you in, because a lot of these A-10 teams, to your point, Greg, are very competitive and can compete with a lot of these high major programs. So, I know Kentucky bought in St. Joe's a couple of years ago and was scheduled to play GW when Caputo first joined the program there. But, I don't necessarily think a Kentucky is dying to sort of bring in George Mason, who, looking toward the top half of the A-10 this year, when they could maybe bring in sort of a low major program. So a lot of that makes scheduling difficult. Coaches in the A-10 have to look to get more neutral courts, have to be very willing to play on the road, just because it's so tough to get high major teams to, be interested in potentially playing at your home court. I think overall that makes scheduling really difficult at this level. But yeah, furthermore, I think, there's been some sentiment on social media and different things like that, that maybe some of these A-10 schools don't necessarily have the most competitive schedules coming into this season. I know St. Joe's has been talked about a lot. I know they talked a little bit about, David and Liam talked a little bit about that on that GW podcast I just mentioned. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting games here in the opening couple weeks that I think not only, benefit obviously the A-10 in the net, but provide really good, as you mentioned, litmus test for some of these A10 teams that are looking to, you know, hopefully not only take jumps this year, but even some of these teams that are looking to be top half teams that, again, have a couple question marks around them. You mentioned a lot of the games there, so I don't necessarily feel like I need to touch on them, but, you know, I'm thinking of maybe Duquesne Villanova in that second weekend, which I'll be at for Mid-Major Madness. I lead our A10 coverage, but, you know, Duquesne, and again, I'm trying not to place too much stock in these exhibitions, but Duquesne just beat out Virginia Tech on their court in an October exhibition matchup here. I think they have a really impressive backcourt this year between Terrence Guignard and Jimmy Williams. Villanova team, again, that's going to have a lot of question marks on their rotation. There's a lot of new pieces over there, of course, with a new head coach in Kevin Willard. So I think that's an interesting test, of course, for Duquesne. You know, I look at GW's schedule, and I know South Florida, you know, they were lucky to get them on a neutral court. I know Caputo talked about that on the podcast, and they think that's a really interesting matchup for them and a team that's going to benefit, you know, in the net. In the American preseason poll, they were picked second, and I know Brian Hodgson is kind of rebuilding things over there, but another really interesting matchup. Of course, you know, you look at the Big Five teams, obviously some of the matchups that brings. I know LaSalle is going to play Villanova this year. You know, they'll get Temple, which is always a pretty good matchup, the American being the ranked conference. You know, on top of that, they're going to get to play Penn State at the newly named Xfinity Mobile Arena in Philly. So being able to get some of those high major opponents, it's really good for the net. I think scheduling for the past couple of years has been such a challenge in the A10. So I think whenever you can get, you know, an interesting matchup on a neutral court, if you can ever get the opportunity to go play, you know, a high major team away on the road, I think that's always valuable. I think of the Big Ten again, which has a little bit of an advantage because, you know, there's practically always a high major game placed into your schedule for every other season. But yeah, a lot of these games around the conference, you know, with the high major level, you mentioned Bradley too, which I think is a really exciting matchup from day one, really. And, you know, one I'll be tuned into, although I know it's at 11 a.m. on Monday. A lot of exciting matchups around the league. I think it's exciting. It's good for the league because I know scheduling has been such a challenge for a lot of these head coaches. And, you know, there is some sentiment again from fans around the league that maybe scheduling has been down over the past couple of years because, again, high majors and some of those upper tier mid majors don't necessarily want to play an A10 team at their place or even maybe on a neutral court sometimes. So, yeah, really excited about some of those games from the opening slate. I'll be at that Duquesne Villanova game, as I mentioned. You pointed to VCU and Utah State. Of course, that Utah State program has been so solid over the past couple of years. So really interested to see what Martelli's guys can do against that Utah State team. A handful of really exciting games around the conference. I know St. Louis is going to get another look at Santa Clara. Always a really tough team in the WCC. St. Joe's is going to get a chance to play, I think, at Syracuse and at UNLV, which will be a really good matchup as well, and at Virginia Tech too. So some really good matchups in the early season, in the first month really alone, just for the A10. So again, scheduling has always been a challenge, so it's interesting to see. I'm excited to see how some of those games play out.
Yep, I am as well. I do think that for the Atlantic 10, lots of big time opportunities are going to be coming just in the first few days of the season, even though George Mason isn't necessarily playing like that big bomber team, playing against Wofford and Winthrop to begin the season. Those are some good games as well. Those aren't your typical pushovers that you're going to be playing against. So I think that they've got a chance to be able to make a little bit of noise as well. And just as you've been looking through the exhibition slate, as you've been taking a look at some of these teams, has there been a team not named Georgetown? Because Georgetown knocked off Kentucky a few days ago and everyone's buzzing about that, but is there a team not named Georgetown that has really been standing out to you and has maybe opened your eyes and caused you to maybe change your opinion on them just a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think it's worth mentioning, try to skew off the A10 in this conversation, but I think it's worth mentioning first that GW played Georgetown pretty well in their exhibition scrimmage, kept it within 9. It was pretty close for most of the game. So yeah, if we're excited about Georgetown sort of taking a step after their Kentucky exhibition, I think that was on, if that was on Thursday.
And Purdue got hosed by Kentucky, so that means that Purdue is in for a bad year. I say that jokingly,
yes,
of course.
I know, we're placing all the stock into these exhibition scrimmages that we possibly can, but excited to see what GW did in their scrimmage against Georgetown. I thought that was really encouraging, and seeing sort of how their rotation played out. You mentioned Georgetown, that's the big one. Maybe one team, not necessarily interested me isn't the wrong word, but one team that sort of caught my attention in the American East in particular, another conference I'd like to do some coverage of for Mid-Major Madness, Vermont. They were picked at the top, you know, in the preseason poll and in the American East. And obviously John Becker, head coach over there, has been very consistent over the past couple of years, taking his team to the tournament. They're always at the top in the American East, but two exhibition scrimmages against local Division II teams, I believe, with St. Michael's and St. Asylum. They actually lost to St. Michael's on their home court 79-74, and then almost fell to St. Anselm on their home court as well. They ended up winning that one 80-78. So again, I don't like to place too much stock into these scrimmages, exhibition scrimmages. I think it's more just exciting to see coaches get a feel for their lineup and some of the different rotations and styles they like to play and game plans they like to play. But a little bit of a tough look for, you know, a team that was sort of projected to be atop the American East, sort of playing two close games against Division II and Division III opponents. And I don't necessarily know too much about St. Michael's and St. Anselm. What I do know is that Division II, Division III, JUCO, and NAIA basketball, it's all very good. So, you know, I don't want to take away from those programs or anything. But just, you know, for a Vermont team that was sort of picked to dominate the American East in the preseason poll, and for a team that I thought was going to have a lot of success in the American East preseason poll, you know, I was really interested to see that they sort of struggled in both their exhibition scrimmages to hold off their opponents. But again, there's a lot of talent at those D2, D3, JUCO levels, whatever it may be. Again, I'm not placing too much stock in these exhibition scrimmages. Just sort of something that caught my eye was, you know, maybe Vermont struggling a little bit. But they'll have to start their season two more D2/D3 opponents before they get a matchup at Brown on the road. Again, a chance to get things right, to sort things out. I'm not placing too much stock in these exhibition scrimmages. But yeah, just again, something that sort of caught my eye over the past couple of weeks, a Vermont team that I've sort of covered over the past couple of years and seen their success.
Yep, and as we know, Vermont, a rough year last year. Brian was a team that was able to make it to the NCAA tournament last season, and I do think that it's going to be really interesting to see what they do this year with Jamie on Christian taking over there. We know all the moves that happened in the offseason, so we've got a lot of intrigue on that front. And Riley, I know you're doing a great job getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. You're going to be locked in on all that we're going to be seeing out there on the floor, and finally, the wait, it is almost over, so love the good people at home. Know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. Thank you for having me as always, man. It's always a pleasure talking some college basketball, particularly when we're just a couple days out from the season here. So a very exciting time of year. But I do tons of mid-major sort of focused college basketball coverage for Mid-Major Madness. I do a lot of transfer portal focused coverage stuff for the Portal Report throughout the season. You can find me on social media. It's usually at Riley Frain, R-I-L-E-Y-F-R-A-I-N. You know, lots of good stuff as we're gearing up for the season between conference previews and different exciting stories and different conversations with coaches. And of course, I'll be covering a couple games over the next couple weeks here with the season getting underway. I'll be in Philly, I'll be in New York, I'll be here on Long Island doing a couple games. So yeah, I'll be all over the place the next couple weeks. Really excited for it. So yeah, come check it out on social media, come follow along, and yeah, there'll be lots more coverage to come. I'm excited for it.
And it is going to be amazing coverage. It's going to be an incredible season. Riley, he's doing such a great job of looking at it all, and every single time he joins me, he learns such great insight. So big thanks, Riley, for joining me on Cusco Soups, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Cusco Soups, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Folks, we are almost there. We are merely 48 hours away from the start of actual games being played. Starting on Monday, the picks and analysis on every single game, every single day, just like it has been the last few years. It is going to be back in your lives. We're going to be covering the big of the big and the small of the small, trying to find you guys some winners. And man, we are thirsty for it. We're going to have a nice two-part chat tomorrow with Ryan McIntyre to get us set for the upcoming college basketball season. Then from there, we're rocking and rolling. If you miss any of the conference preview podcasts, by the way, wherever you're getting this podcast, just look down the slate, look down the shows that are all up there on the playlist, and we've got a conference preview podcast for every single conference. So have you guys all covered there, and I'll have you guys every single day covered throughout this college basketball season. So I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.